This is audiobook of Book of the UFO Contacts of Salvador Villanueva Medina. This happened in 1953, Mexico. Translation from the French and Spanish edition, and not done by a professional translator. Takes reservations for large or minor translator errors. This must be read with one's own discretion or assessment. Remark the extreme accuracy in trying to get impressions of the technical details that have been included here. And he must have had an extreme photographic memory, as he later here describes the smallest details on the technical equipment. Hardly any accidents that they picked out just this person to witness a technology that lies centuries ahead. Intro here first, by the son of Salvador Villanueva. Salvador Villanueva Medina was born in August 1910 in a village in the state of Jalisco. He has now completely withdrawn from all UFO research activities. He is humble in his claims. He is generous, good and wise, autodidact and proud of his chance to have visited a world greatly in keeping with his ideals. This is experienced by Mr. Salvador Medina Villanueva in 1953 gave rise to this book, which was translated into 6 languages. In Germany alone it sold 80,000 copies. I, his son Salvador, respecting 2 promises, the one my father made to his extraterrestrial friends as well as the promise I made him, that this experience should never be forgotten. I here make public his experience because only the magic of time will give it reason. I take this opportunity to thank for the editions Mina, Columbia 1973, and to my great happiness, here is this new edition of my father's adventure in another world. In book is then picture of Salvador Villanueva's son. Then follows, same Halo Wars foreword. Villanueva Medina, the man who was on Venus? Salvador is not fantastic, and has no imbalance. Salvador was examined by psychiatrists who have come to the conclusion that it is a normal man, mentally balanced. Salvador does not live in his extraordinary adventure, nor of the book he wrote entitled, translated title, I Went to Venus. This gentleman, he's a mechanic by profession, he repairs automobiles. He lives off that. We ourselves went to his workshop and we have seen his working. It's a practical person to 100%. The home of this gentleman will not be divulged since we do not have the authorization to do it. We limit ourselves to only 2 things. The first, to testify that this man is an absolutely honest man of mind, dedicated to his work and his family. The second, that this man has passed by a great adventure, but do not live by her, wife. Salvador Villanueva Medina recounted what happened past and it cost him a lot of suffering, because that the scoundrels, the skeptics as always, the imbeciles they laughed at him. Salvador has been on Venus, or a level of this or whatever, beyond doubt and has fulfilled the duty to inform his fellow men, in spite that they make fun of him. Victor Hugo said that that 3 who laughs at what he does not know, is on the road to be an idiot. For 5 days, Salvador lived on the planet Venus, and he returned to Earth after observing the reality of all these affirmations made by them. Venusian civilization is millions of times more advanced than ours. The proud landlords. Salvador told what he lived through. We limit ourselves to comment on it. The Phillips Company has examined samples of soil and plants picked up where Salvador found the ship and discovered a very strange atomic order in these samples. Also, same was the place of the photographs because there were footprints of the ship. Sage Adamski gave a lecture on this theme in the Insurgent Theater in Mexico. A German commission of scientists was interested in the question and they went to visit Salvador. They have studied the event on the ground. He did not make them stay in doubt. However, fools will continue to laugh as always, because they are fools. Same Halo War. Prologue. The month of August has become significant for me, because it was in this one that I was born, even if from this date to today, it happened almost half a century ago. It was also in a month of August that I had the greatest privilege that an individual can wish. In both cases, the adventure took place without my knowledge. The first can be demonstrated by my birth, the second is difficult to prove because there is no witnesses, but it has been richer in incidents than the first. Whoever has so deeply the most doubts in my mind was a trucker. He was the first person put on my way when I finished this adventure tactics. I overflowed with optimism too easily, without even imagining the consequences that placed me on the limit of sublimity and ridicule. But I tried to take advantage of this experience. And from there, I walked, paying more attention. Well, that, to tell the truth, I have not been able to obtain great benefits with this tactic. I admit that after the first failure, I locked the glorious experience in my being with some facilitated, although to those who had made it, I had promised to make it public. During a year and a half, I ignored this promise and I was supported to strengthen myself because my preparation, of intellectual, knowledge, was nil. These people insisted on that they would have a way to help me in this transcendental responsibility. I was not surprised to see in the first newspaper's pages about people who had experiences similar to mine, although smaller, as mentioned up. Again, curiosity to know if they would believe me, started boiling in me. I proposed to tell everything to an intellectual. At this time, a journalist who, under the pseudonym MGB, wrote a series articles on the subject caught my attention. Due to seriously with which he acted, I decided to contact him by sending him a part of my story, because I did not want to dispel the uncertainty that had provoked our trucker friend. Therefore, I judged that I had again made a mistake, by not telling the experience in every detail to that man. Because, now it was him who took my words with suspicion and, although he gave me the opportunity to justify myself, I believe that I did not know how to take advantage of it, thus lying mistrustful. At that time, there were a couple of North Americans on vacation to Mexico, who had the opportunity to see a spaceship at low altitude. That had been so excited, to them, that they had decided to thoroughly inquire and dictate a few lectures. In the Mexico, they got in touch with Mr. MGB, who was kind enough to invite me to their first conference in the capital. Some 300 enthusiastic people participated to the latter, the majority well-informed and some with personal experiences. Journalists were at presence for which this new incident, that would increase my personal gain, was interesting. In the company of my eldest son, we occupied a corner of the room, letting the session unfold. The public spirit swarmed up. Several people went up on the stage to tell their story, which increased the interest of competitors. Immediately, the person who dictated the lecture, addressing the audience, asked if some of those present had established contact with flight crew members of the spaceships. The question had a thunderous effect in me who, without to know for sure the scope of my sudden decision, but feeling that an extraordinary force obliged me, so I raised my hand, and being invited to the platform before the waiting general. I had only walked a few steps when I already regretted it, but I continued. They gave me attention, treated me with courtesy, and there was even a great author, Mr. Francisco Struck, who was to put himself in my defense, supporting my words, which calmed the excitement I had provoked. The North Americans were interested in investigating my story, and together with Mr. MGB, they invited me to tell them about where I had seen and boarded the ship. On this occasion, a military engineer, a professor North American mathematician as well as Salvador Gutierrez, a young photographer from experienced press, accompanied us. The excursion was a success. The engineer I was guiding made calculations and was quick to locate the exact location, checking the dimensions of the device. This made me to regain the confidence that had made me lose, by our friend, the trucker. That was the first person put on my way when I came back from this adventure. I overflowed with optimism too easily, without even imagining the consequences that placed me on the limit of sublimity and ridicule. So from there, I walked. And I acquired a new knowledge, that the ships always leave a trace where they land, and this uncovered. In my case, that interests us, as it landed in a place covered with vegetation that was reaching a great height, it was burned in an unusual way, unknown to us and so it still was a year and a half after, later. We took samples of earth, inside and outside the trace, which were analyzedly used in Philips labs, and it was found that in both samples, there was a difference very marked in the molecular. Soon after, came Mr. Hawke Adams from California, USA. He also dictated a conference on the subject at the Theater of Insurgents, and he assured that he had had many contacts with ship's crew members. I was introduced to Mr. MGB's house and I confine myself to answering his questions, but without extending myself. He was then firmly convinced that one of the people he had known did not enjoy of a greater experience than me, and it seemed to me that he wanted my confessions only for his benefit staff. The English author, Mr. Desmond Leslie, is also passed by this capital. I had the opportunity to know and accompany him for a day and a half, thanks to the interest of the diligent investigator and journalist Mr. MGB, who did not take a moment of rest to take advantage of as many opportunities as possible to research my experiences. I must clarify, as I said before, that I did not tell the full experience either. Journalists, like other people, is limited to bring only a part, since I considered the rest improbable. I was afraid they ridiculed me, so I accepted the idea that people do not believe what they have not seen through their own eyes. However, the promise I made to the crew of the spacecraft continued to haunt my mind. And that's why I decided to write my story in detail, without the limitations imposed by the situation. I hope that they will forgive my daring. For people experienced in telepathy, I tell at the end of this book, something that I caught with torment without being able to decipher it completely, but that I feel obliged to tell it in order to respect my word. Salvador Villanueva Medina. 1953, UFO contact of Salvador Villanueva Medina, Mexico. Seemingly interdimensional visitors. Chapter 1. It was the second part of the month of August, 1953. Covering a shift in a rental car, I served some Americans, male and female, who asked me to recommend a driver to help them drive a car to the United States. United, by the highway of Laredo. Against my custom, I was interested in the work and I put myself at their service, leaving 2 days later. The car was a magnificent Model 52 Buick that advanced easily. The couple was urged to arrive and we took turns driving the vehicle. We had traveled less than 500 kilometers, 484 to be exact, when there was a noise in the transmission of the car. We stopped, afraid of causing a serious flaw. My companion decided to return, walking, in search of a crane car. Since it was standing in the middle of the road and without tools, it was impossible to make any repairs. When my improvised patron moved away, I took out the car jack in order to investigate where the noise came from. I placed it, raising a wheel, I started the engine connected to the transmission and slid under, to hear more clearly. While I was in that position, I heard someone approaching, as footsteps were heard in the sand gravel that accumulates on the side of the road. Alarmed, because when and I got under the car I had not seen anyone nearby and the place was unpopulated, so I tried to get out as quickly as possible. I did not quite understand the situation when I heard a strange voice that in perfect Spanish asked me what was wrong with the car. They, the visitors that he soon was to see, surely had translations devices as we also now have 65 years later, here on Earth. Then the voice seems unnatural, strange. Similar device seemingly was used in the ETB-RA contacts, as well as the YAGA contacts from the 60s. RO.REM, I did not answer, but I just remained sitting and recharged my body. I had in front of me, about a meter and a half away, a strangely dressed man, of very small stature, not above 1 meter 20 centimeters, was covered with a uniform made of material similar to corduroy or woolen fabric. Was no visible part other than the head and face, whose color was strikingly like ivory. His, her hair, platinum and slightly wavy, fell a little below the shoulders and behind the ears. These and the eyebrows, the nose and the mouth formed a wonderful set, which completed a pair of bright green eyes that resembled those of a beast. Wore a thick belt rounded at its edges, full of tiny holes and no apparent connection. He or she had a helmet similar to those used to play American football, slightly deformed at the back. At the nape of the neck, in that helmet, there was a bulge the size of a pack of cigarettes covered in turn with faded perforations at its edges. At the height of the ears, there were two round holes about 1 centimeter, from which came a large number of thin and trembling wires, which flattened on the back of the helmet formed a circumference of about 3.5 inches. These wires and the protuberance were blue, just like the belt and an apparently metallic tape on which the neck of the uniform topped. This and the rest of the helmet were opaque gray. The man put his right hand to his mouth as to ask me if he or she did not speak. I was amazed by the musical sound of his voice, coming from a perfect mouth that framed two rows of small and very white teeth. Making an effort, I got up, giving me a little courage, to notice my physical superiority. He maybe was 1.70 meters tall, and they 1.2 meters. The individual encouraged me with a smile full of sweetness, but I did not leave even the strangest impression that this sudden appearance of that singular type produced in me. As I did not feel obliged to answer, but I asked him if he or she was an aviator. Making a sign of kindness, he or she answered that his plane, as he called it, was only a short distance away. Comforted with his answer, it occurred to me to invite him to get into the car. It made a cold breeze, quite unpleasant, which increased as blows from time to time, when passing some vehicle at high speed. The darkness began to cover us and the man, instead of accepting or thanking for the invitation, proceeded to adjust the helmet carefully, and I was hearing a noise very similar to that which is produced by a car moving at high speed. In the perforations on the belt, various lights began to turn on and off with profusion, which increased in intensity. The man raised his right arm as if saying goodbye, approached a mound of earth, reached it with agility and jumped into the forest that borders the road. After a moment I climbed out and tried to look for it, locating at a certain distance the luminous strip of the belt that resembled a numerous group of fireflies. There I was until I lost it in the darkness of the forest. I went back to the car, and on the advice of some motorcyclists watching the roads that passed, I took it, the car, off the asphalt, bringing it closer to the edge on which it was standing. I huddled in the seat, thinking about that strange being and thought that maybe it was indeed some aviator who had suffered an accident or mishap and had the plane destroyed in the forest. I finally fell asleep. It must have been quite a while since I was in sound asleep when strong knocks on the glass at the right front door woke me up. As at first glance I discovered two people out of the car. I imagined that they were the owners of the same one who returned. Without thinking, I opened the door, and my surprise was huge when I found that he or she was my acquaintance, now in the company of another individual with his same appearance and covered in the same way. Without realizing it, I invited them to come up, which they accepted immediately. It was like that when, for the first time, I felt the strange sensation that those beings were something superior to me. As if it were a premeditated warning, as I stretched my right arm over them trying to help them close the door, I felt a sharp pain like a sudden blow to an elbow, followed by a numbness that momentarily paralyzed my arm. Surely they had strong auras, which for all living beings, is charged with etheric, astral, electric energy. Roe remark. The impression was so strong that, instinctively, I pressed to the left side, putting space in between us. A moment later warmth emanated from their bodies or their uniforms, which was certainly pleasant, since at that time the temperature in the region is cool. Without introductions of any kind, the one who had visited me before, who was in the center, asked me if I had managed to fix the car. I replied that I did not have enough tools to try a repair in the dark and therefore had no choice but to wait for my companions who had gone in search of help. There was a moment of anticipation, and I realized that they were trying to observe me with some enthusiasm. I turned on the interior lights of the car and, just to ask something, I asked them if they were Europeans. The perfectness of their features made me understand that they did not belong to a race within reach of my knowledge. Then the man started talking so much that I was puzzled. There was a contrast between him and his ease of speech, and his companion and his silence. The second, who was rounder in face and more robust in general, only made small movements by head, sometimes letting me see his small teeth that stood out by their whiteness, but without saying a word. The smallest was saying we could consider where they came from as a city, which covered everything, because the streets lined up without end, that these never crossed at the same level, that there were so many vehicles and diversity was such that I would easily be confused. He claimed that these vehicles did not use mineral fuel, neither vegetable, because the vapors of this type of fuel proved to be harmful. He also stated that the propulsive, propelling force was provided as much by the central heat of their planet than sunlight, since they were inexhaustible sources energy. He went on to say that along their sidewalks, were moving endless bands that allowed avoid making efforts. As well as people never ventured on the road, the energy of their cars, with which were propelled their many vehicles. They are completely different from those you use. You will see that with the material and the spacecraft that we use, to carry 6 passengers, others carry 25, and in some cases up to 50, and that only on the first floor. He said that by looking around inside the car that we occupied. But we have some up to 10 floors. All this annoyed me, since I did not know any country in the world that did use any such vehicles. Maybe they was too populated, but the discussion about their cities stopped there. I also did not know if they had them mechanized to such a degree. These men seemed to me as two jokers. I asked how they were to produce vegetables, since they were so populated. I had asked a joking question, but he answered quietly that long ago, they had grown vegetables in much more time than we know. Now in trying to guide myself, I asked if they were close to the sea. He replied, as without giving any importance to the question, that they had only one, but that it was 3 times deeper than ours. The thing seemed strange to me, and I blamed him his attitude. The two individuals exploded into one loud burst of laughter that annoyed me. But I came to think that probably my ignorance was bigger than I imagined, and to tell you the truth I did not feel hooded. In front of my ignorance, the man threw to me, I hope you understand that we are in talking about another planet. From another planet? I asked him surprised and amazed. Yes, sir, another world like you calls this place where you live. I think you know that they exist. Of course I know it, I hurried to answer, because the question seemed to me offensive. All the same. How could I not know that there are other planets? And in order to demonstrate my knowledge of astronomy, I finished by saying that only according to our wise men, no other planet beyond of ours could have rational inhabitants. What makes you think something like this? He asked me, would it not be defective means you have to do your calculations? Does it not seem too pretentious to believe that you are the only beings that populate the universe? It took a more serious turn than what I thought. I immediately started to remember the pain that I still felt in my arm and also the strangeness of these guys with their uniforms and their belts, with their helmets, the strangeness of the color of their skin, their expressive eyes and their voices. Strange, whose sound was unparalleled. For my poor intellect, these individuals were too trying. I decided to continue to resist and I told them that it all seemed incredible to me. Of course, he replied. It turns out incredible for your mentality, but tell me, why? What is it incredible? Chapter 2. The ship. The question was so unexpected that they found me blah. So I told that I thought I knew by the calculations of our astronomers and our mathematic that some of the planets of our solar system is too cold and others too hot. Okay. I'll give you a simple example. You have extremely cold places and yet there are people living there. They manage to subsist without artifices or mechanical aids of any kind, so much only on their own. Now, imagine these same individuals with elements tools for shaping the climate or the environment. The environment they need. How does the distance to which they are from the sun matter to them, if this one gives them the necessary means to and to transform the problems into beneficial? Now, another small example. I continued to listen to him. You know that an individual, by availing himself only of a small tank in which stores what he needs to breathe, may be out of his natural environment, so without its organic structure, the being is put to danger. The example illuminated my mind, and without losing time, I asked him, "So you have to breathe something different that our world is used to?" "Of course," he answered me satisfied. "But I do not see any accessories, equipment." "You do not see anything because according to your mentality, he must be an accessory. But touch here." He said that, by inviting me to touch what should be the surface, and you could feel a firm consistency, different from ours. Immediately after he completed the explanation, "We wear this here, what keeps us alive. It injects energy directly into the lungs. It's really wonderful," I exclaimed with enthusiasm. "However, devil." Doubts continued to assail me. He had advised me of that, and that's why he told me that I could ask what I want and he would try to answer me. To begin with, I asked him that if they came from another world, what kind of vehicle did they use? He told me that he had already told me that his container was not very far and that soon I was going to have the opportunity to see it, if it interested me. A question bothered me, but I could not find how to pose it without offending. The idea was to come that, since these adults were so small, how were the children? And in front of my astonishment, as if they were reading in my mind, he answered my thought of the way next, "I'm going to explain to you what you want to know. That is, say, regards children. In our world, we do not see children on the streets. As soon as their birth, they remain under the tutelage of what we could call the government, and this one charge them until they reach the proper age. It is then that they are classified in accordance with their physical and mental communities, and they are assigned a determined place where there is a need. Usually, this operation is carried out by couples, a man and a woman." And the idea came to me to ask him how they did to acclimatize an individual from a cold zone to a hot, or vice versa. As you will see, we do not have this problem. For the simple reason that our whole world enjoys a single uniform climate, and this one is not natural, but artificial, created by ourselves. You understand, it will take a while now, to understand, that we enjoy a single climate, mild, without having extreme regions like you. In addition, the density of our population does not allow what? Not this luxury. This, for me, became very convincing. All seemed to support what he claimed to be, and now it started to seem more logical to me. Again, my mind gave rise to another question. It was concerning their only sea, and I had not finished to formulate it, when he interrupted my thought. "I already told you that we have a sea, and this one contains as much fluid as all yours, combined. From it we take out all the materials, the ones that we use to build our buildings, for to make our clothes, to make our vehicles, and 60% or more of our diet." He continued, "Our current boats are not like you design and build them. Ours are going so much in tunes than on the water than at any other place without gear of any kind, meaning like no aeroplane gear equals undercarriage. Dot in this sea, we set up to great depths, huge factories that have different systems from those you use. These systems attract marine populations. There they are chosen and used scientifically." In front of my astonishment, he added, "As you will understand, in our sea there is no disturbances of any kind, because we have it at our service and under our control, and therefore these contingencies are discarded." That had now turned to me into an incessant concern. I wanted to know more about these people. I asked him how it was that they spoke Spanish so well. He replied that they can speak any language in no time, as difficult as it can be. That in his world, they had already spoken, as in our own cases, of a quantity infinite number of languages, but that now they only used one, formed the most easy, and had improved it extremely efficiently. Easy and simple. Surely some similar to the Esperanto language, which is very simple to learn. Rorem. I asked them if they knew our world in full. He told me they knew us well, not only on the surface, but also its complex structure and all the customs of different remote areas. That first, was why they were gathering this information using appropriate devices, including all their vessels, which were endowed for that.